Warwick Hadfield, good morning.
Good morning, Fran.
And Warwick Hadfield, just days before the opening ceremony of the Winter Games in Sochi, and we've already spoken this week on the program about the security apparatus in place, something like 30,000 security personnel around the Black Sea resort town. But overnight, a security scare.
Yeah, this is an interesting one, Fran. The Austrian Olympic Committee has received an anonymous letter containing a threat against two of their athletes, saying they were going to be kidnapped while they were in Russia for these games. They are the skier Marlies Schild and another competitor by the name of Janine Flock. And I guess it just all adds to this anxiety. The figure I heard was there were 40,000 security
tens
people
of thousands
there.
Anyway.
But what that does is just reinforce the fact that there is so much. We've had already terrorists make threats against the games and things like that.
Now,
and
the IOC dismissed those emails that a few of the delegations, including the AOC, received. They said they weren't credible. Is this threat to the Austrians, this kidnapping threat, is that being treated as credible?
Well, it's being treated as credible, and it's been reported to Russian authorities, and the Austrians have two bodyguards of their own who are going to be accompanying the team, and no doubt they'll be accompanying these two competitors wherever they go as well. But they've basically said, it was interesting, they said they found out about the threats, not through their own officials, but through the media. So they're a little bit wary about that, but they're indicating they will continue, they have arrived, and they're going to compete. But it's, as I said, it's at this time in the build-up to any Olympics, whether it's summer or winter, these sorts of stories abound.
Yes.
And of course, in top of that, we've got the complaints about the slope style course. Another skier has been injured, a person who was in the running for a medal as well. So that's an issue there. Apparently, officials are running around trying to change that course as well at the moment. And we've had our own little controversy among the Australians. Now, we all remember Dale Begg-Smith from the last Winter Olympics, this Canadian turned Australian, a bit of a recluse. Now, he was supposed to do an interview with Australian media, but somehow it was all botched.
This was bizarre, wasn't it?
But, we talk about, yesterday we talk about players issuing grovelling apologies in the new way of sport. Well, Olympic officials are now apologising to the media and saying it was all their fault, not that of Dale Begg-Smith. But it adds a little bit more to the mystique of the man, and he's back to try and become the first Australian to win three medals at Winter Olympics.
It's a bit of a tough job ahead for him. Back home here, Melbourne Stars feeling the pain this morning after their big bash last night.
Well, Tim Payne, of course, had to issue a grovelling apology, as we said yesterday, for some remarks he made about a fortnight ago, which upset the Melbourne Stars. Eddie Maguire, who's the chairman of the Melbourne Stars, he went ballistic on his Melbourne radio show. And then Shane Warne tweeted that Tim Payne was a fourth-grade wicketkeeper. This because he sort of indicated that the Melbourne Stars may or may not be complying with the big balderdash salary cap. Well, anyway, he went out last night and he absolutely smashed the Stars bowling all over the park. And
smashed the ball right through that salary cap.
Right through the salary cap. And look, just to compound the pain even further, if you like, it's the third time the Melbourne Stars, who really have, well, they've spent big to get some great names to come and play for them. It's the third time they've lost in the semi-final. And Eddie Maguire was down on the sidelines and no doubt wondering if his position there or his place in the side means that the famous collywobbles have been transferred from Australian football.
Oh, come on.
to cricket.
And look, this is interesting. Another player returning to the A-League in an attempt to try and get onto the path of the World Cup, I suppose.
Yeah, well, Ange Postecoglou has indicated that players playing in the Middle East aren't really in his line of sight. So Sasa Ogonofsky has signed on with Sydney FC. He's 34, and it's probably a long shot, but he signed on with Sydney FC just to try and get his face and his skills in front of the Australian coach. That follows David Carney coming back. Well, David Carney hasn't come back from the Middle East. David Carney's come back from a round-the-world ticket. He's had about six clubs in the last 7 years, or it might be seven clubs in the last 6 years. But these players are all, I mean, everybody wants to go to the World Cup, and why not? It's going to be a tremendous thing. So it's not surprising that even aged players like Ogonofsky are really going to put everything they can into these final few months.
Even old blokes. Good on you, Warwick. Thank you very much. Talk to you again at 7:30.
Yeah, good on you, Fred.